Turn with me to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12. This will be, I believe, our last message from this study through Daniel. And really, this is just a starting point. I'm claiming Hebrews 6 for a text also. I'm not going to recap what all is said right here. We just had a Bible study on the whole chapter. But I want to look at something glorious from verse 7. Daniel said, "I heard the man clothed in linen." That's Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Linen was the garment of the high priest. That's what the garment was made out of, linen. And that's Christ, our high priest. That's what he is for us. A high priest was the one who went in to make intercession for the sins of the people, the one who brought blood in. And that's what Christ is for us. He is our high priest that offered the blood in appeasement. Verse 7, "I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river of death, the river of judgment that all men and women must enter. I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven." In Daniel's time, holding up the right hand was, and I know that looks left to you, the right hand was a common gesture in swearing, making promises. It is in our time too. It is still a common gesture in swearing still to this day. If you go into a courtroom and you have to testify, they're going to ask you to raise your right hand. Do you swear? So that's still a common gesture in our day. Well, the lifting up of both hands was an emphasis of what was being sworn to. Emphasizing what was being sworn to. Let no mistake be made. Let all eyes see this. This is a covenant promise that shall not be broken. It shall be fulfilled. Verse 7 says, "I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever." Who is that? Who did he swear by? Who did he swear to? Revelation 4 says, "The one who liveth forever is the one who sits on the throne." And that's Jesus Christ. He is the one who sits on the throne. He is the one who swore a covenant promise. What was that covenant promise? What did he swear to? The end of verse 1 says it's that his people would be delivered, every soul that was written in the book. He swore to that. The end of verse 13 says it's that his people would rest and stand in the lot of their inheritance, the lot that was promised to them for the rest of their days. It was a promise of redemption. It was a promise of deliverance. It was a promise of acceptance. It was a promise of security and love and peace. That's the covenant that Christ swore to. And I quoted this verse in the Bible study from Hebrews 6. I asked our brother to read that a moment ago. After studying for the Bible study, I just couldn't get my mind off of that. And I thought we could look at it for our message this morning. I'll read it to you. Go to Hebrews 6. I love this verse so much. Hebrews 6, verse 13 says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." Don't you love that? I love the fact that he would swear, that he would make a promise. And I love the fact that the only one he could swear to was himself. He swore to himself because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. He is the only man who could say, "I swear to God. I swear to God." You and I should never swear. Promise. We should never promise. People say, "I promise." We should never promise. We should especially never promise God. We should never swear to God because we will never be able to keep any promise that we make to Him. Never. We will not do it. And He holds every soul who breaks a promise accountable. Look with me at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse 33, it says, our Lord said, "Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." No mortal man or woman should swear to do anything, because all that we sinners do is lie and break our word. And God will not let that go unpunished. But there's one man who could swear, and he did. And the reason he did is because it is impossible for him to lie, and it is impossible for him to break his word. And that was the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Isaiah 46, "If I have spoken it, I will do it. If I have promised it, I will bring it to pass. I will." David said in his last words, these were the last words of David. He said, "This is my hope right here. It's that the Lord hath made an everlasting covenant concerning me." And he said, "It's ordered in all things and sure." That means everything that God promised concerning me, he'll do it. Everything God promised, he'll do it. Jesus Christ made a covenant. He made a promise concerning his people. And because he could swear by no greater, because there was no greater being, no higher being, he swore by himself. Go with me back to Hebrews 6. Verse 13 says, "For when God made promise to Abraham," what was that promise? What did God promise Abraham? Well, look at verse 14. "Saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." He promised to have a chosen people, a covenant people, a people who he would set his love and his favor on, a people who he would show mercy to and show forgiveness to. And he said, "It will be a people as the sands of the seashore and as the stars of the sky." He said, "I will choose them. I will deliver them. I will redeem them from their bondage. I will give them a land of inheritance. I will draw them to myself. I will be their God. They shall be my people." He said, "I swear. I swear." Verse 15 says, "And so, after he had patiently endured," after Abraham patiently endured, "and after Daniel patiently endured," the Lord made the same promise to Daniel, and he told him that he was going to have to patiently endure. Isn't that what he said at the end of the chapter there? Just patiently endure, be still. He said, "Go thy way till the end be." And he said, "Cling to the promise that you're going to rest and you're going to receive the inheritance that I've promised you. Trust that, believe that." After Abraham patiently endured, verse 15 says, he obtained the promise. And after Daniel patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And the same thing applies to you and me. If we belong to Christ, if we were included in his covenant, if we were included in his covenant, after all of God's people patiently endure, every one of them will receive the promise. And it's because of who it is that made the promise. That's why. Who made that promise? Verse 16 says, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife." With men, usually men swear by a greater than themselves, somebody they consider to be greater than them. And the fact that there's a greater than them proves they may not be able to fulfill their promise. But this man, verse 17 says, "But God, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel." That's saying, but God being willing to prove to every soul he made a promise to how unchangeable that promise is. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." Does God change? Good answer. Amen. No. Wisdom out of the mouth of babes. Amen. Has God ever changed? No. That's right. He's the same God now that he's always been. This God that we're reading about, he's the same God now he's always been. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because of my immutability, that means unchangeability. He said, because I don't change my promise concerning you, the promise of my blood covering all of your sin. Does that sound good to anybody? The promise of my righteousness supplying all of your needs before God. You need to be good. And you're not good. But I am. And I'm going to robe you in all of my goodness. Because I don't change my promise, my covenant, my oath that I swear concerning your salvation and your acceptance into glory, that will stand forever. Verse 17 says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That word confirmed, do you have a center margin in your Bible? It means he interposed himself. That means he put himself between his people and the judgment that was coming to them. He interposed himself to prove that his promise to them of deliverance and salvation would stand. He interposed himself. He stood in the way of. He solidly positioned himself between his people and the judgment that was coming to them for their sin. Just like that story of Big Johnny and Little Billy. And I was not going to tell the story, but now I am. Years ago, in a one-room schoolhouse, all ages and all grades, there was a kid named Big Johnny, and he got his lunch stolen. And he was upset about it. And the next day, he got his lunch stolen again. And he was upset about it. And he told the teacher, he said, somebody's stealing my lunch. And the teacher made an announcement to the kids, whoever is stealing Johnny's lunch, confess. And nobody confessed. And the teacher said, make sure it doesn't happen again. Whoever it is, make sure it doesn't happen again. Well, it happened again. And Johnny said, that's it. We're going to do something about it. And the teacher said, okay, Johnny, what do you want to do about it? He said, I want there to be a punishment. And the teacher said, what do you want the punishment to be? He said, I want it to be 10 lashes across the bare back. Whoever's caught stealing lunches, 10 lashes across the bare back. Okay, that's what it'll be. It happened again. And the teacher said, okay, who did it? Who is doing this? And nobody would fess up. And the teacher said, if somebody does not confess, this whole class is going to suffer. This whole class is going to get in trouble. And this little kid in the back finally raised his hand, little Billy, and he said, I did it, teacher. This scrawny little kid. And the teacher said, Billy, why did you do that? And he said, I'm sorry, Johnny. I just couldn't help it. I was so hungry. I have not eaten. We don't have food at my house. And I was so hungry, I just couldn't help it. He said, I'm sorry. And the teacher said, okay, Billy, take your shirt off. Come on up to the front. And when he took his shirt off, he was about the scrawniest, hungriest, most malnourished kid that Big Johnny'd ever seen. And Big Johnny had compassion on him. And he said, "It's okay, teacher, don't give him his lashes." And the teacher said, "No, I have to, Johnny. I have to. These rules cannot be broken. We got here because rules were broken." And Johnny said, "Please, teacher, I'm begging you, please don't do it." And the teacher said, "If I don't give him the lashes, sin will be committed again. And that cannot be. He must receive his lashes." So he said, "Billy, lean over my desk." And Billy leaned over the desk. And the teacher raised the rod. And Johnny cried, "Wait!" And Big Johnny got up from his desk. And he walked down to the front. And he wrapped his whole body around little Billy. And he said, "Okay, teacher, let him have it." And that teacher unleashed on little Billy. Big Johnny interposed himself. That's what happened. He firmly positioned himself between his own and the judgment that was coming to him. That's what Jesus Christ did for all of his people. Verse 17 says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, two unchangeable things, his promise and the fulfillment of his promise." That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What is that consolation? Where have we fled? What are we holding on to for our hope set before us? It's Christ. It's the one who interposed himself for us. It's not just the promise that was made. It's the promiser. That's who we're holding on to. He is our hope. His oath, his covenant, his blood support us in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is our hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Because Christ interposed himself, because he put himself between the sin of his people and the judgment of God on that sin, because he went into the Holy of Holies first as the forerunner. And that's what that said. Our high priest went in first, carrying blood, the appeasement sacrifice for sin. He went in as the high priest offering the blood. He went in as the sacrifice of blood. He was all. Because God accepted him and God accepted his sacrifice, God is now satisfied with us. And he accepts us in him. Christ opened the way for all of God's people to freely, peacefully enter straight on into glory. That is the hope that's set before us. That is the anchor for our soul. And if you look at chapter 7, I'll close with this. Chapter 7, verse 19, it says, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. All of those priests in the Old Testament, they were representing someone. They were not our high priest. And they didn't continue. They would die and the next one would come along. Verse 24 says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What a hope. What a promise. What a gospel of good news. All thanks and praise be unto Christ because he interposed himself. He said, I swear I'll do it. And he did it. All glory be to him, now and forever. Amen.